In the midst of this global crisis, the voices for justice are revealing what really matters. It is time for Planetary Makeover. Here we feature solutions and modern miracles in documentary videos that offer hope for our future and remind us all of our spiritual source. Long ago, it was forecast that at this time in history, extraordinary teachers, including the World Teacher, would emerge to help us as we build a world that works for everyone. Now, here's your host of Planetary Makeover, Mr. David Minot.
Welcome to Planetary Makeover. We're back and with a different format tonight, today, this morning, depending on when you're watching this. We'll be having a very short video and a long discussion. And we hope that you will post your comments and questions on our Facebook page, hashtag Planetary Makeover. And whatever other format you may find us on. This week, it is entitled, This is the New Time. And our video is a truncated version of a longer video made by the woman who's the brainchild for Planetary Makeover, Frances Oman. And that's entitled, Differing Voices Dovetail, Expressing Today's Messianic Expectations. But the theme, the subject, the focus of tonight's show is the Sword of Cleavage. Now, don't be frightened. That might sound scary to some people, like you need to be ready to duck. But the Sword of Cleavage is actually a positive phenomena and represents the very antithesis of violence. It is an expression of love. And that we will explain in detail, and we will also give you source material where you can look this up on your own. So, the Sword of Cleavage is actually, of course, not a sword. That's just a metaphor. It's actually an energy, as I said, the energy of love. And it is wielded by the World Teacher, who we will talk about. As you probably know, if you've watched this show before, and don't if you haven't, our focus is on the emergence of the World Teacher, who has been expected for thousands of years, and letting humanity know that as part and parcel of that story, they are not alone. And I'm going to have to look at my notes from time to time because usually the video takes up most of the time. This time, I've got to spend most of the time talking to you, which I hope you're going to enjoy. Now, as I said, the Sword of Cleavage is in fact the energy of love. But remember first, which we want to put forth on each and every show, that we, meaning the Planetary Makeover team, are not here to convince you, the audience, of anything. We're here simply to present the information and hopefully as unbiased a way as possible. And we're hoping that you will receive this information with an open mind, which of course everybody thinks is easy because everyone thinks they've got an open mind, including me. And I'm not always right either. I mean about having an open mind. We know I'm not always right. And that entails being open to new concepts and ideas. This can prove difficult, which we're not always aware of, because it threatens the status quo. Not so much the status quo outside of us, but the status quo within our own thoughts, dreams, emotions, mental conditioning, values, political, religious, philosophical, and social beliefs, and many others besides. But What we are looking to do, to put it another way, is to have you view the information as if you're watching a movie. I mean a movie that you enjoy. Because when you're watching, your mind is really rather still. It's not thinking about tomorrow's activities. It's not judging. As I said, assuming it's a movie you enjoy. It's not thinking about the past or the future. It's fully focused, for the most part, in the now. And it's rather still and quiet. That's what we want you to try. That should be what you want to achieve. Not to believe, not to disbelieve, but simply to observe. And by that way, learn. And so we present that challenge today, and we hope you're up for it. I hope I'm up for it. And to bear in mind, too, when some of this that's presented to you is new and different, that it may challenge your sense of security about certain aspects of your life or the world, and just observe your reactions. Don't try to control them. Don't suppress them. Don't feel guilty or afraid or ashamed. Just watch. Just observe yourself. What we want to convey is that there is a group of perfected human beings who are re-entering the world after some 98,000 years of an absence, led by a world teacher and their humanity's elder brothers. They're not religious figures per se. They're not political leaders. They're not looking for followers. They don't want you to believe in them. They want you to experience them. They are teachers in the broadest sense. And they're here because we are obviously at a crisis point, but not to tell us what to do, simply to advise and to give us some new tools with which to cope with the challenges we face in the world today, which are many and manifold. So we'd like you to imagine that in these coming weeks, months, years, that we can transform a world of chaos into one of justice, peace, enlightenment, brotherhood, synthesis, and planetary restoration, where the basic human rights of all, without exception, are honored and protected and upheld, such as healthcare, housing, education, justice and equality, clean environment, and of course, world peace. So what we're getting at is that humanity is not alone. Actually, we never have been alone. We only thought we were. These elder brothers have been guiding humanity from behind the scenes for hundreds of thousands of years. And now, in this time, for the first time in humanity's history, not only are they back, because they've been here before, but their leader, the world teacher, is manifesting in physical form to walk among us and teach us. And this is something that we have never seen before. And this is part of the new age they're entering, the age of Aquarius, and will last some 2,500 years. Just making sure here that I don't forget anything in my notes. Now, you know that this has been prophesied for thousands of years, for instance, by the world's religions. You know that the Jews await the Messiah. The Hindus await the latest incarnation of the Kali Avatar. The Christians await the Christ. The Muslims are awaiting the Imam Mahdi. And the Buddhists are awaiting the latest incarnation of Maitreya Buddha. They at least got the name right. Of course, Maitreya is not Buddha. But Maitreya is the world teacher for this, the Aquarian Age. And as I said, they are not looking for followers. They don't need you to believe in them. They don't need you to follow them. They just came to teach, and they hope that you will listen. And being perfected human beings, I think it would be foolish of us not to take this kind of advice. I know I will, or try anyways. And as I said, this will also be touched upon in the brief video that Francis Oman created from a larger piece. And it touches upon people's expectations. Once again called Differing Voices Dovetail, Expressing Today's Messianic Expectations. And I will, as I said before, invite you to comment on our Facebook page about the show and whatever other platform you may be viewing this on that allows you to do so. And you will be educating not only yourself, but me, everyone else watching, the team, because remember, we are not isolated, separate human beings having this experience. We are really part of one great oversoul, you and I. So to take this from back to front, or rather from the ancient past to the present, I've gathered some quotes. Well, actually, I haven't gathered them alone. The team helped me. So I want to recognize both Francis and Mark for helping me with that. And one thing that Mark came up with was some quotes from the Bible, which more of our Christian brethren will be able to relate to in regards to the sort of cleavage. And here's a couple right here. This is from Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And another, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And here's a third one, and a man's foes shall they be of his own household. Now, we don't want to take this literally, but what it means is, with the energy that the Masters of Wisdom and the world teacher Maitreya are bringing into the world, it has a tendency to make people more what they are. It amplifies the good and the bad. People that are good get better. People that are bad get worse. What's the point of that? So that mankind as a whole will know which way to turn, who to go with, who to stand with, who to work with, who to build a future with. And you can look at our own social, economic, political, spiritual, philosophical worlds today and see who is someone worthy of working with and someone you'd want to move away from. So that is the ancient biblical take on this. But Mark had also given me something more recent from Maitreya, who we were talking about. And he gave, I think it's around 120, or was it 140 messages through Benjamin Krem. Benjamin is sort of a modern day John the Baptist, author, esotericist, sometimes I have trouble getting that out, and artist, who has been talking about the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters in the modern era from approximately 1974 to 2016, when he shifted consciousness, as we say in the Age of Wisdom teaching, and passed physically from the everyday world. So this one, again, is through Ben, and this is from Message 45, October 3rd, 1978, and I'm going to read you an excerpt from this, not the entire thing. My friends, to link yourselves with those for whom these aspects are divine, create between you a wall of light against which the world will knock in vain. My army moves. My lieutenants know the result of the battle and know the plan of action. That action involves you all, for through you, my friends and brothers, must the new world be made. Take then your part in this valiant work and show your mettle. My love will sustain you. My law will guide you. My heart enfolds you always. My friends, be not afraid, for you have nothing to fear but your fear. This gives you a sense of where Maitreya, the world teacher, is coming from. And we'll have more along that line before we finish today. And gives you a sense of what's to be expected, which is actually quite beautiful and to be very much looked forward to. And as a matter of fact, of course, as you can see, it's already happening. Already happening because that particular quote was from 1978, which is some 43 and a half years ago. So, as I said, in the modern era, we can draw much from the writings not only of Benjamin Krem, but of Alice Bailey and Helena Rodrigue and Madame Blavatsky, Krishnamurti, that's Jiddu Krishnamurti from India, and realize that none of these teachers nowadays are of any particular religious or philosophical leaning. They're all non-denominational. So this represents all groups, as does Maitreya. Because some may think that he was Hindu or Buddhist, but in fact, he is, of course, non-denominational and timeless. Now, part and parcel of this will be his Day of Declaration, when he will address all of humanity simultaneously via television. But of course, since he can communicate telepathically with all of humanity, whether or not you're in front of a TV, you will still hear it in your own head. So, as Benjamin Krem said, well, you may be out running errands under the car, you know, working on it. He said, put that spammer down and pay attention. So what we're told is that this is the reason for television. This is really why television was invented. Of course, the people that did that had no conscious knowledge that that's what they were doing it for. But much of humanity is directed by hierarchy on levels unconscious. For some people, that would be a distraction. For as Maitreya said, many people work better in the shade. It has always been so. So, as I said, this is the real purpose for television. And as Ben joked once, not to watch the World Cup, as exciting as that is, but that's a great dividend for having television and everything else we've enjoyed through it. And on that vein, I'd like to go into one of Ben's books, and I'm going to hold up some of these books so that you can see them. Some of this information I just conveyed came from books like The Awakening of Humanity by Ben, Maitreya's Mission, in this case, Volume 3. Check out all the bookmarks. There's a lot to remember in these books. The World Teacher for All of Humanity. And what else have I got here? Oh, and of course, Transmission, A Meditation for the New Age. We'll touch upon that again, too. Now, back to the Sword of Cleavage. Of course, during the broadcast, the Day of Declaration, when Maitreya addresses all of humanity, some people will welcome this, some people will scratch their heads, and some people will not be happy about it because they'd like to go on the way the world has been, with the division and the greed and the power that those particular people have coalesced and possess and lord over other people. In that vein, one of the events that will help bring about the Day of Declaration would be things like a worldwide stock market crash. Now, that frightens people too. However, we have to remember this won't be like crashes of the past. We will recover probably fairly quickly compared to the past, and there are brilliant economists gathered together by hierarchy over the decades who will put together a much more equitable system that will replace the current stock market, which, as Maitreya has said, is little more than a gambling casino. There's very little real goods that change hands. So we've got the old way of thinking versus the new, which will be embraced in the end by the mass of humanity. And why is this important? Well, the old guard, the old way of thinking with division and competition and greed and the hoarding of resources and the denying people of their basic human rights, all of this has had a literal slowing down effect on the evolution of humanity. That's how dangerous it is. And I don't know if the listener has ever considered that before. Not having enough food, health, not having health care, quality education, a living wage, adequate leisure time, justice and equality, a clean environment, and world peace. Not having these basic human rights and having to deal with the stress means that we can't move forward. And it has literally slowed down our evolution in recent centuries. And it's time to set that aside so we can move forward, which will result in a huge explosion of creativity. Because once people are happy, joyful, educated, healthy, well-fed, aren't beset by pollution and war, there's a tremendous amount of potential that will spring forth from humanity, and we will make a tremendous leap forward. So consider that when you sometimes get a little anxious about the future. You really have a lot to look forward to, as long as we let go of the past. It's always a letting go of the lower for the higher. I was thinking of another quote here, this one from Ben's master. What do I mean by that? Benjamin Krem was first contacted by spiritual hierarchy of the planet, another name for the masters of wisdom, also the lords of compassion, back in, 1959, and they told him if he wanted, he'd have a part to play in the emergence of the world teacher. He said yes, and over the years, that particular master of wisdom worked with Ben to set up a moment-by-moment telepathic rapport. And so many messages came through Ben to humanity. Not just Maitreya's messages that I referenced earlier, but other writings that came through his master that Ben wrote down in much the same way that the master DK worked through Alice Bailey and others. So here's a quote that I really loved from Ben's master in reference to what the world will be like after the Day of Declaration when we start to solve these problems. And the quote goes thusly, "Millions will know for the first time the quiet happiness of satisfied need." That bears repeating. Millions will know for the first time the quiet happiness of satisfied need. Because think about it. When we're hungry, we go to the refrigerator or we go to a restaurant. As Ben has said before, we don't think twice about it. But there are probably, I'm not sure of the exact figures, but around at least 1 billion people who don't have enough to eat, living on less than $1 a day, and their children are dying before their very eyes because there's no food to eat, nothing from perhaps 100 miles around, and no water, clean water to drink. We cannot talk to people about highfalutin spiritual awareness when they can't eat. And this is a blasphemy in the eyes of hierarchy, the spiritual hierarchy. As I said, another name for the masters of wisdom. We live on a planet with an approximate 12% food surplus, and yet 25,000 people a day are dying of starvation. This is completely unnecessary. What's lacking is the political will to move these supplies to where they're needed. For instance, we have storehouses in the West with food stacked, you know, 3, 4, 5 stories high, rotting, being eaten by rodents, where speculators are waiting for the price to go up. Meanwhile, across the planet, we've got people starving for want of the food that's rotting in the storehouses of the West. This should be unacceptable to any human being, and it is the spiritual crises of today. Our crises are not in the realm of philosophy and religion. And spiritual means anything that pushes the race forward, the human race. You could have spiritual art, spiritual accounting, spiritual janitorial work, spiritual politics. Every act, every thought, potentially, could be spiritual. That deprivation I just spoke of is the antithesis of spirituality, and it must be solved. And this is a spiritual crisis of today. So, let's just move on from there. So what we're getting at is that through the Day of Declaration, Maitreya and the Masters, going forward as well, will bring to attention, to the attention of humanity, the stress created between the haves and the have-nots. We have one quarter of the world, or is it one third? I think it's one quarter of the world, approximately, the Western world, usurping and wasting three quarters of the world's resources. That means that one quarter of the world has, or three quarters rather, has only one quarter of the resources to deal with. And I may be off on that. It might be that the Western world, one quarter uses up two thirds, and three quarters of the world is left with one third. Either way, this is an inequitable situation that must be changed. And not for naught, the message from the Masters is share and save the world. The equitable sharing of the world's resources to end poverty and war. That poverty and that injustice have within them the seeds of war, which would be a third world war and destroy all life on the planet. And we didn't come this far to blow it now, and you can bet Maitreya wouldn't have come back into the world just to see it destroyed. That is not going to happen. So, back to the sword of cleavage again. Again, we see that it divides those who stand for injustice from those who stand for justice, for freedom, for love, for brotherhood, for synthesis. And I'll get into that more. This is another quote from Ben's master that I liked. From the reception of Maitreya. Thus will the sword of cleavage do its work, revealing those who stand for freedom and justice, for practical goodwill and love, revealing also those whose suspicion and fear, prejudice and hate prevent their recognition of the truth of Maitreya's message of compassion and love. Thus will it be, and thus will men be tested as guardians of their future. Isn't that beautiful? And some of the other issues that this brings up, when we talked about the haves, the have-nots, and those with money and power, and those who hold no sway over their day-to-day lives and know it, and know that perhaps in this lifetime, they may never have that power of control. And this is one of the reasons for drug abuse. People have to find a way to anesthetize that agony, and of course, alcoholism as well, because they are in so much pain, and it's often the sensitive ones of the race, of the human race, that this happens to. All of that will be a thing of the past. No one will anymore be suffering from how Ben terms this, or Maitreya terms it. I'm not sure who said it first. Suffering from spiritual starvation. And along with that, will be some other benefits that come with the energy of Maitreya and the Masters and their influence. They have long-term plans for humanity, not just the end of starvation and the restoration of the ecology, or healthcare, housing, education, food, adequate leisure time, and a living wage for all, but such things as their beautification of the cities program. And as Ben had put it, Benjamin Krem, in one of his books, he said their current ugliness, poverty in slums, and lack of life is again the result of greed, callousness, and commercialization, meaning in the cities. And this will become a thing of the past. Instead, open public spaces, gardens, parks, and objects of force, and temples, which I'll explain, which generate beneficial energies, a sense of equilibrium, and free energy. And the study of forms used to be the four-sided pyramid. Now it's a three-sided pyramid, the tetrahedron. This gets into the science of architecture and of shapes and of colors and of sounds. So there will be structures that actually help create equilibrium in the cities through their energy and harmony and other structures that help create energy, free energy, which will benefit the entire city. This we will see the world over. And let me just pause to say, for more information about all this, you can visit, of course, www.share-international.us. And also, not only for the U.S., but for the whole world, is www.share-international.org. Share-international.org, as well as share-international.us. Now, we have a video, as I mentioned earlier, entitled Differing Voices Dovetail, Expressing Today's Messianic Expectations. It's only a little bit over 4 minutes, but it's potent, and we are going to play that for you and then come back and discuss the subject in depth, and hopefully in the future you'll be able to see the larger video from which this is drawn, one of many videos that we featured by Francis Oman. And with that, I'll take a short break, and I will see you after the video.
The Messiah is expected now by many Jews. Rabbi Ted Falcon explains.
There are two basic ways that the time for the coming of the Messiah is understood within some of the traditional circles in Jewish tradition. One is through trying to figure out numerologically on the basis of old texts when, in what year, in what era. And there are those who say, just as we talk about this being the Aquarian Age, there are those who are discovering in the flow of the zodiac and the flow of various segments of history that this is the time when Messiah is supposed to awaken. There are others who look at various world events and say that it's through those world events that the indications of such a coming is to be announced. And those are the ones who look and see that the issues in Israel are harbingers of such a moment now, that the political, the social difficulties, the exacerbation of the violence even there and in the world as a whole speaks the conditions which in fact are required for that messianic being to arrive.
Muslims expect the Imam Mahdi.
I was born and raised in a Muslim family, and Muslims believe that Imam Mahdi, which is the last of 12 imams, Imam is a religious leader. He disappeared, and he is to appear again when the world is full of chaos, and to restore peace and bring good relations among the nations.
I think that the followers of all religions believe is coming back is here among us. I think we're ready for it.
I think one of the most important questions that each of us has to ask is, what would happen if the second coming happened while we were living? Would it happen in my life?
I believe that our Lord is coming, and this is a sign.
I believe he's just gonna come back to earth and take it over again.
I think it's the end of crime and hunger. Maybe peace on earth.
The earth will be renewed. There'll be no more smog, the water will not be contaminated, the water will be clean, the air will be clean, the earth will be renewed, there will be springtime all over the world. There's not going to be any more hunger, and it is going to come to be.
All right, folks, having seen that video, I hope you enjoyed that. And one thing we should probably point out, something that was mentioned by one of the participants as her hope for the emergence of the world teacher and the masters of wisdom, mankind's elder brothers, was that the world would be cleansed ecologically. Well, that is going to happen. But not magically and suddenly. It will be done by us with the assistance of the spiritual hierarchy. They will make available to us technologies we don't currently possess, one of those being the technologies of light. However, that will necessitate mankind abandoning war beforehand. Otherwise, with those energies, we could create terrible weapons and destroy ourselves. And for the cynics among us, fear not, hold on to your hope, because that day, the abandonment of war, I mean, is coming sooner than many expect. And if you don't think so, look at some of the things that have already happened that both Maitreya and the Masters predicted and Benjamin Krem reported decades ago. And in most cases, a couple of years before they excuse me, actually occurred. I get choked up just thinking about it. Some examples would be the dissolution of the Soviet Union almost overnight, the fall of the Berlin Wall, which experts would have predicted would happen years from then, years from 1989 when it occurred, and the end of apartheid in South Africa. Without a shot being fired. Not that a lot of shots hadn't been fired before it ended, and a lot of blood spilled. And most of it was the blood of native South Africans whose land the Dutch and English came to settle thousands, many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of years after the indigenous peoples first occupied it. Perhaps millions of years after they first occupied it. And that was something that happened fairly quickly and that most of the world didn't expect, that Nelson Mandela, who was sentenced to life imprisonment, would not only be released from jail, but would become president of the country. Now, in retrospect, we're taking all these things for granted. But at the time, it was something that people almost did not dare hope for in their lifetimes. So, moving right along with the theme of how the sword of cleavage is going to benefit us. Well, where you could find out more information, in addition to the other websites, would be the website for this broadcast, which is planetarymakeover.org. That's planetarymakeover.org. And of course, you can also visit our page, hashtag Planetary Makeover, on Facebook. So, what will help us foster this sense of strength and resolve that was mentioned in that message from Ben's master, or rather Maitreya, that was one of Maitreya's messages, excuse me, when he talked about the battle and his troops and hearing the jingle of their harnesses and asking, can you not hear them marching into the future? Can you not hear the drums calling you to march into the future? Can you be deaf to their thunder? He said in one of the messages. Well, when we talk about this, we're not talking about committing violence. Although many people who are standing up for justice, equality, world peace, a clean environment, adequate food supply for all, an end to poverty, and health care and education for everyone are laying their lives on the line and are being killed. People are literally laying down their lives to see that these changes come to the planet. This we must honor. And as Maitreya had said, got another one of his quotes here that I really like, nothing happens by itself. Man must act and implement his will. So this battle will be fought, for the most part, on the mental plane, not the physical plane. Although there will be a physical aspect too, where we'll get out in the streets and agitate for the changes we want. And this we will do peaceably for all the things I mentioned. Everything from a clean environment to ending world hunger and world peace, an end to war. So, as I said, people are sacrificing their lives for all of these things, and it's something that we must honor and pause to contemplate as we listen to this broadcast, as we have full bellies, a roof over our head, an education under our belt, healthcare that we can turn to, a living wage, leisure time, and all the rest of it. Something else that can help too is something that we mention in every broadcast, and that is transmission meditation. And that was brought to humanity by Benjamin Krem from the Spiritual Hierarchy back in 1974. All kinds of meditation are beneficial for everyone. It helps put the physical vehicle, mind, body, emotions, more in touch with the soul. And as that energy is sort of stepped down and, downloaded into the physical brain, it benefits us, making us more loving, intelligent, calm, balanced, creative, healthy, everything that every human being could ask for. Transmission meditation in itself is a stepping down of these great spiritual energies that hierarchy is trying to transmit to humanity, but are of such a high vibration that they bounce off the mass of humanity. And that'll include me too. But through transmission meditation, it's stepped down, like energy coming from the power lines outside your house through a transformer, where it is lowered in its energy so it can come into the house and power all your devices without blowing all the fuses and overpowering the system. And that's what you do when you do transmission meditation. And although it's not technically a part of it, healings have been known to occur during transmission meditation. And this energy, what's happening with it? Well, it's become part of a pool of energy that you could say, poetically, euphemistically, that it's a source of spiritual energy that all of humanity drinks from. All of creation, actually. You're benefiting all the kingdoms. Mineral, plant, animal, human, and that next kingdom, from whence it came, the kingdom of souls, where the masters reside and where we are all headed. And I'd like to go back to something I had mentioned about the beautification of the cities, since so many of us live in urban areas. And this will also touch upon suburban areas and rural areas as well. In the future time, once the masters are in the world and the sword of cleavage has done its job and we're settled down into a progressive mindset where all the basic human rights of all of humanity are honored, then the cities will have more open space, more parks, more gardens, bodies of water, you know, where appropriate, and as I mentioned, the other types of buildings. Now, people will, of course, be free, as they are now, to choose the suburbs or the countryside, only they'll be more free in the future. And in addition to the buildings that I described, a lot of the older, ugly buildings will be torn down or renovated if they're architecturally significant and historically significant, in which case they probably won't be ugly to begin with. And transportation will be upgraded as well. There will be silent, stress-free, seemingly motionless, quick modes of transportation that will get us everywhere, which will replace, I think to a large extent, the current use of the automobile. Though I'm sure before that, cars will also evolve. So, what else would this involve, given the power of the sword of cleavage helping to change our world? There will be a change in political structure. Right now, we have competition between, we have, for instance, socialism on one hand, capitalism on the other. And this era is an age of synthesis where the two come together. Social democracy, democratic socialism. The masters have said that the ideal mix would be 70% socialism, 30% capitalism. Well, that will get some people upset now. They can't even handle it at this point where we have socialism, I think, in the single digits in America, around 10%, perhaps lower. In Japan, I think maybe it's around 20. And in Europe, the same. The Scandinavian countries, I think, have the highest amount of that mix in social democracy. I think they may have up to, some cases, 40% socialism. I may be overstating, it could be 30%. But in any event, that needs to be flipped, particularly in the States. So as these two different ideologies come together, we see an end to so many isms. And Maitreya said that isms imprison, and more of a, as I said, a synthesis, a blending. Though not every country is meant to have the same type of government and economic system, and they will retain their uniqueness as they were always meant to. And this type of polarization will come to an end. With communism, you had justice without freedom. Capitalism, you have freedom, but not much justice. As Maitreya said, the wagon can't run on one wheel. It needs at least two. And this will also signal an end to economic totalitarianism, where, as I said, three-quarters of the world, or rather one-quarter of the world, is wasting two-thirds of the resources, and three-quarters of the world has to make do with the rest. And this is what we will change. This is what you can look forward to. And this is a subject so vast in scope that we can't possibly cover it in one program. But I'm going to try and squeeze a few more things in here. When we talked about the sharing of the world's resources, what did we mean? Well, all countries will take inventory of what they have in excess, what they don't need. And then there'll be a UN agency that'll help coordinate the pooling of these resources. And then they will be redistributed to the countries that need them. Some other countries have what we need and don't have. We have something in excess that they need. And so this way we'll share. It doesn't mean giving up your home. And it also means a form of self-sacrifice. And people don't like that word, so they don't want to think about it. But what it means is sacrificing the lower for the higher. In terms of personality, it would mean selfishness, desire, and attachment. We're giving that up for the higher soul aspects of our personality. Altruism, awareness, and forgiveness. This is what is meant by evolution. And we will accomplish this through alternating cycles of rest and activity. The in-breath and out-breath of the universe, of the planet, and of humanity. So in this way, we will also move outside of time and space to some degree. But that's a subject for another show, where we hope to see all of you again. And once again, I will encourage you all to visit the websites and explore this more on your own. And remember, too, that I've got something else here I want to share with you, where we can find some of Ben's books that we are talking about and that I was showing you. They're at share-ecart.com. 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 And we're hoping that you will comment too on the Facebook page and on whatever other platforms you may be watching this on, and have the option to comment. And with that, I will leave all the rest for you to ponder upon, as the Master DK used to say, paraphrasing his words. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Tune in right here in 2 weeks for the next Planetary Makeover Show, as we watch and discuss another video by Francis Oman in light of the timely and non-denominational ageless wisdom teachings that will fill your spirit and inspire you with hope for the future, a world that works for everyone. So be prepared to call in and share your views and questions in another uplifting episode of Planetary Makeover.